Hello and welcome to another episode of This Particular Album is Very, Very Important to Me. I'm Deborah Tarica.
I'm Joel Spence. This is the podcast where we ask people we love to pick an album that is very, very important to them, and here they share their memories.
Great and not so great.
And emotional connections.
Great and not so great.
And we all get to listen to it through their ears. How fun, right? How
Yay.
Fun.
Yes.
Fun.
Hello, Joel.
Hello, Deb. I'm paying. Go ahead. Follow up questions. Go ahead. I'm paying attention to you.
Okay.
Should we go right into this particular song?
Yes, I can't.
The panic was palpable. Tears streaming down my face.
Let's do Like a Friend.
Excellent. So the song I picked that is very, very important to me today is Like a Friend by Pulp.
Smoke all my cigarettes again.
Is it on a soundtrack?
It's on the Great Expectations
there
soundtrack.
There we go.
Yeah, it is. It's from like the mid-90s, I think 1994. And I think it was later put on a Pulp album, but it was just on that soundtrack
for a while.
Oh, cool.
That's probably why I know it.
Which is how I knew it. Mm-hmm. I love this song. It starts off slow and quiet. It's a perfectly built song.
You take up my time. Cheap magazine. When I could have.
I heard this for the first time in high school, forgot about it for a long time, and then the Venture Brothers used it in their prom episode, which is one of the best episodes of television ever. Do you guys watch Venture Brothers?
No,
ever seen
no
it?
I need to no. know what this is.
I only watch 60 Minutes.
That's fair. That's fair. It's actually the show that, like, when we were doing like late night feedings, Alex and I would, with our baby, we'd start from the
I thought
beginning
that was a show.
Go into it.
Have you seen late night feedings?
Have you seen late night feedings? I hope not.
I was a guest last week.
I've done a lot of songs, or I have them lined up, at least in my head, for my wedding. Because I think your wedding is kind of a place, or mine was, where we were like, this is what I want to do with my favorite song here,
yeah.
favorite song here. And before we had decided literally anything about our wedding, really before we even decided, like, before we were engaged, we knew we wanted to end our wedding with this song.
Oh, that's cool.
I know I say this a lot about a lot of songs where I want to like be in my car blasting it, but this is like, I need to scream this song. This is not give a fuck who's watching you dance when you're listening mm-hmm. to it. And this, we just like needed this at the end of our wedding to like have it be the, it's done. Like, cause it builds, mm-hmm. you like lose your fucking mind. And then.
As the venue is bringing their bill over.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
That's the song that's going in his head, too. Like, I'm so glad.
He's like, this is fucking cool.
I don't take American Express. I sort of missed Pulp, and every time I hear a Pulp song, I'm like, this is great!
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're also, Pulp is the band that plays, I forget what the band's called in Harry Potter, that plays at the prom.
You're looking at the wrong
okay.
person.
I didn't know. I didn't know either.
Could have gone either way.
No, yeah. Really could have.
I've read four of the books.
Okay.
I've seen four of the movies.
It took me a long time to get on that train,
yeah.
and I it is never, I'll never be angry with somebody when they're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll go, okay.
Thank you.
It does not matter to me.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
It's I enjoyed listening to them on audiobook.
Oh yeah, that seems like it might be a fun way.
Fun
to
experience,
do it.
Yeah. But I will never. I don't give a shit if you like.
Yeah,
it or
I really
not.
Don't want to shame anyone about anything. I'm trying to think of what my thing would be where I'd be like, you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I always want people to get on my page with certain things, like 90 Day Fiancé is my favorite show, and I'm like, I implore you to watch it. I totally understand if you hate it or will never will watch it.
But I feel like you'd be like, but it's your loss. It doesn't take anything away from me that you don't experience. You haven't experienced
exactly.
Harry Potter or any of that. It doesn't affect me in any way. Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's
you
kind
still
of
get to
deal.
Enjoy it all
exactly.
the time.
Yeah, and feel superior. It
yeah,
sounds
yeah,
like.
Of course.
It's I've your loss.
I have a friend that used to take pride. I bet he still hasn't. That he had never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and he's our age, so he like or my age, he like came up. Well, we're all different ages.
Yeah, I actually
right.
like it
you're
wouldn't
right.
be.
Absolutely.
I think you're like not a huge chunk younger than me, but like what a weird way to phrase that.
I'm a huge chunk younger.
I guess I'm a huge chunk older.
Younger
How
than me.
How old
enough.
Is everyone? Can
okay.
we say?
47.
I'm 38.
I'm 33.
Okay.
So yeah, that is that it's difference.
It's like enough
really.
Of
but
a
Ferris humor. Bueller was huge for me.
Okay.
Was it a thing for you?
It was right. I came out when I was in high school.
Yeah,
so,
oh, so that's perfect.
Yours.
Yeah. That must have actually been way cooler.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I liked it, but
same, like,
it was like the kid perspective is different than a high school perspective.
Yeah, it was a little, I enjoyed it because it was so audacious in a way. And as a movie, it wasn't as meaningful as, say, Breakfast Club or 16 Candles.
Yeah.
Problematic.
I know. It was on TV the other day. I was like at a hotel and I was watching it and it's so racist.
It's bad.
Racist,
like I was just
yeah.
like, wow, this is actually like just flagrant racism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
like not
no.
funny at all. Like all of that is just for what? Like it's so weird.
It's so weird.
But yeah, in Breakfast, all of John Hughes' movies, when we look back, are now like, ooh.
They do all have a little something.
I wonder if there's one that actually skirts all that.
I think Home Alone. Does it have anything weird?
You know what? Never saw it.
Wow. Okay, that's one where I would say this Christmas,
what?
Bundle up.
Yeah.
The three of us?
Yeah. We all get under one big slanket.
Oh, my God. I just saw I don't know. It appeared on my Facebook feed, this ad, but it's like perfectly designed for me. It's a tortilla blanket.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen these?
Does it look like a tortilla?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
And that's perfectly designed for you?
Because I'm from San Antonio and I'm the meat.
I would never expect you to see a tortilla blanket and be like,
okay, but how fun is that? You get a green blanket that you like layer with it and a red blanket, and then you're in the middle.
Yeah.
You make a fucking burrito, dude. Come on, let's fucking get a tortilla blanket.
That's good. I am the meat. I'm the meat. You need it.
Maybe Home Alone.
Yeah. So then my reaction was, that's fucking insane. Right after saying, like, it doesn't matter that you don't like it or you don't care.
Yeah, no, we do have to attack him, but we both held back.
Yes.
We both wanted to scream at you. But
that reaction
also
was,
strange that
crazy.
The movie about a kid being left at home alone is the least problematic.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it feels like that's a huge issue.
Because
huge
it's
thing.
All white.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's like if you don't put any non-white people in it, you can't. It's harder to make fun of them.
Well, I guess
it's safe.
That is safer.
They didn't put they didn't make the criminals of color, which is they dodged that one.
There you go.
But it just meant more white people in
exactly.
the movie.
Right.
Yeah. I may be Pretty in Pink. I think that might one.
That one might be okay.
Yeah.
No, but there's probably some sort of like sexual assault that we're forgetting or something.
Oh, I'm sure. Also, there has to be a John Hughes podcast out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it
They've
exists.
Covered
can,
it.
Yeah.
Okay. More Than This by Roxy Music. This song came way late to me. I must have heard it, but maybe it's because the rest of Roxy Music didn't do it for me. It seems strange because it's perfectly designed like a tortilla blanket for me.
You in the tortilla blanket listening to this song. Yes.
Watching
just...
Home Alone. Is going to be the cover of my album, my first album.
Which is Home Alone's reflecting word. In your glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. got reintroduced to it from Lost in Translation. Yeah. It was when Bill Murray was singing it, which I thought was my favorite part of that whole movie. Was
I forgot about that part.
He's in the karaoke room by himself, or like with people, but he's so lonely and detached from everything. And it's a great song anyway, but Bill Murray singing it is like a reference to his lounge singer on SNL that he used to do my mom loved so much. It sort of hits a bunch of things for me.
Love this song. Yeah. And it's also kind of forgotten. Like, I feel like it's not overlooked. Celebrated enough.
Yeah. Do you remember in the aughts, the shoe bomber?
Yes. Yeah.
You mean the person that made it so we have to take our shoes off at airports?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember him every time I fly. Yeah. That's a great legacy.
I believe this was Brian Ferry, singer, sort of Roxy Music guy. And when people were wrestling the shoe bomber, maybe it wasn't the shoe bomber, maybe it was just a guy that was mentally ill who tried to like storm the cockpit or something like that. There's a picture of the melee or the aftermath of the melee, and Brian Ferry is there going, like, with a concerned look on his face because he was...
Idea of him being, like, wrestled to the ground in this song playing.
That's what he's thinking. He wrote the song in Ireland, and he says, like, that's probably what was responsible for the mood of this whole album, but they recorded it in the Bahamas, which I think is so funny.
Weird. This does not feel like a
sunshine.
That's
so weird. Yeah. Not a beach song. No, maybe it is a beach song, actually.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
My only association with Roxy Music is that my dad had the CD, I don't know when, like, I mean, my teen or adult life, but it was in the back of his car, like, on the floor with all of his other CDs. But the cover is, like, Naked Girls or something, and I was really like, ew, what the fuck is my dad listening to? It's like this.
Oh, wow.
It's like just so
way
weird.
Way more poignant than
anything. It makes you think that the music's going to be so different.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I make Alex play a game with me where he names a band and I tell him whether I think it sounds scary or not. And we do this a lot.
What's a good example? What's something scary?
Like, and it would normally be some like ideally a band I've never heard of so I can decide. But maybe with like Sun Kill Moon would be like a perfect example where I'd hear the title of the band without knowing the music. And then I would have to, and Sun Kill Moon, I would go... scary.
Yeah, and I think that's my instinct with that band title too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm interested.
Yeah, or there's like...
It's just so, it's like three words that make no sense to me.
Totally. And I think it's that. It's like anything that's like a mystery. Like, but if it's like...
Belle and Sebastian.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
100%. But we do this a lot. Like, we'll just kind of forget about it, and then he'll just go like Rage Against the Machine, which I've heard of. And then I go, obviously scary. That sounds so scary.
It's terrifying.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hello, listeners. Thanks once again for tuning in. If you're digging this podcast, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review. Deborah and I love doing this show, and good reviews help us continue to bring fun guests and great albums to you. Special thanks to those of you who already have rated and reviewed. You know who you are, we know who you are, and we're looking forward to reading some new ones. And now, back to the program. Speaking of terrifying, our guest is an actress, comedian, and podcaster hailing from Evanston, Illinois, correct?
Yes.
Great. She is best known for her podcasts Freedom, Raised by TV, and with special guest Lauren Lapkus. She can be seen most recently in the movie The Unicorn and HBO's Crashing, and the feature Between Two Ferns on Netflix.
That's all accurate.
Yeah.
Phew. No I lies. Love it. Nailed it.
Phew.
Yeah, there were no lies in there. I was hoping for a lie. But yeah, those were
true. She also
true.
Was the model for the Statue of Liberty.
Thank you very much.
Also true.
That's true. So I'm waiting for the lie.
Oh, man. I'm going to
I was the model.
Hold still.
They wrapped me in a bed sheet.
Lauren Lapkus, thank you so much for joining us
thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, Joel, for remembering to say the last name of the guest.
Oh, is that a problem of yours?
It's been a weird issue.
We just get wrapped up in it. I think we're just ready we're excited, and we know who we're talking to. We're looking at
it
you.
It seems a lot to introduce the whole name. It's very formal.
I give up. I bail right before the last
It's Lauren. If you don't know, figure it out.
Lauren Lapkus, what particular album is very, very important to you?
This album, Ghosts of the Great Highway, by Sun Kil Moon. Well, so when you asked me what album I would use or pick, it was kind of hard for me. I love music so much. I listen to music constantly. I love finding new music. I like listening to old music. So it was like, I didn't know where to go with my choice. But when I was like going through my phone, I was like, this album is one that I put on all the time. And and I've been listening to it consistently since like 2004 or something.
I like that. Yeah. What other albums were you like tossing around?
Oh God, now I have to think. Well, there's
Ted Nugent. Yeah.
Bell and Sebastian actually is one of mine. Tiger Milk is my favorite, but I like loved them so much. And I found them in high school and then I was like obsessed. And it was kind of when I started getting into like indie music and like discovering bands like at the record store. And I found them and I was obsessed and I was like, I literally was like, I'm going to like this band my entire life and this will be my favorite band for my entire life. I was like, this is my favorite band my entire life.
It's a big choice. Like, I know. To make that choice for yourself.
It was like a weird, like,
it kind of can be that.
Yeah. And I bought all their posters and had them over my room in college, which I never had posters growing up. I wasn't allowed to.
Really?
So my mom liked my room to look like a catalog, but it was great. Aww. Very pretty. and I don't even think it's bad. It's like, I liked it too, but
Crate and Barrel poster.
Yeah.
Well, it's better than like the posters. Stock the things images. I put up were like things I thought I was supposed to put up.
And that's what I would have done too.
Like, very few things were like very genuinely me.
You. Yes. Like, and that crow. Was like the the crow.
That was very me.
The crow. Yeah.
Yeah. But then like I did a lot of like Beverly Hills 90210 cutouts. And then anything else other than those two things were like so insincere.
Yes. And I've always felt confused by my friends' stuff like that because I was like, oh, do they like I remember once I was like making a book of crushes with my friend. Like we were like cutting out magazines. And then to me, it was like the most unfeeling project I've ever made. Like I was like, I feel literally nothing.
My perfect one that was on my wall for a really long time, that I think I saw the movie once and I was just like, I love this movie. It was
The Crow.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet.
With Leonardo
and
DiCaprio.
And a lot of people had that poster. That was
I think it's because I got it for free. Mm-hmm. Like when we went and saw it, I think they...
I'm sure they were handing it out.
Yeah, and like, I was like, this speaks to who I am.
So me.
Like, I've seen it once.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. I think I had the soundtrack.
Watching it once is so perfect for that.
A Shakespeare play.
Yeah, we get it. It's cool. So then Belle and Sebastian, I got the posters. And that was like maybe my first dip into being like, this is an example of what I like.
Yeah, identity.
Yeah, and that was really cool. But then, that was like when I was really starting to discover more music and I had like some friends who were very into finding new bands. And Sun Kil Moon was one of the bands that a friend of mine introduced me to. And I immediately loved it. I was like 19 and totally depressed at school. And like, it was just perfect. Some like KK down more than glance at them. Some like your neighbor, somebody, even I like them. I lived in Chicago, I was at DePaul, and like when I put this on, I'm taken to like so many moments in my life, but because I listen to it so much, but mainly like riding my bike through Chicago and feeling like I was.
This is a great album. I can tell how one can get like completely attached to. It's such a mood.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a very big one mood.
Yeah, and it's really different from their other albums.
Is it?
I haven't even really gotten into any other Sun Kil Moon albums. I like download every new one, but like I like try and stuff. And he's done really cool stuff. Like he has an album called Benji that is all like it's almost spoken word. It's like storytelling over, like, on these really long songs that are telling a full story about real people in his life. Gotcha. And it's really moving, but this is like, you know, music I can really feel.
Serving cops, but then one morning, baby.
I think it's hard when there is an album that you fall so hard for. I talk about Patti Griffin in here too much, maybe, but like, there's one Patti Griffin album that I can listen to start to finish. It's one of the best albums in my life, mm-hmm. forever. It's an album I decided that was going to be my favorite forever. I've like tried with her other stuff, and it's just like, all I want it to be is Living with Ghosts. I want it to be is that album. Maybe it's just Ghosts.
No,
maybe
it's the word Ghost has to be.
I don't know.
But it is so frustrating sometimes, because like, you want to just soak up everything by this person and like, love it all the same. And I did have that with Belle and Sebastian, where I was like, I actually, every time I get a new album, I'm equally delighted. And it felt amazing. And then they took a turn and kind of made it poppier in this certain way that I wasn't totally getting behind. So then, I lost. That's kind of where I lost them.
Do you remember the first song you heard? Or was it
Carry Me Ohio is my favorite song on this album.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I had this friend from high school who was always super into music, like way more than anyone I had ever met. And he would suggest bands to me, and like, I loved that, actually. And when I think back to Belle and Sebastian, I'm like, it's because a guy I liked them. Sure. Fuck. Yeah. And that sucks. But I was like, I'm going to find that. But I never heard of it. But this guy, I didn't have a crush on, so he was just my friend. And he always had cool recommendations. And
he just heard this and got so sad.
and it truly makes me so sad. And I put it on, like, almost every day. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But, like, it's one of the... It just, like, taps right in. It's like, it doesn't, like, make me feel more depressed than I am. It just goes, like, whatever you got going on right now, like, that level of depression, you can just, like, sink into it for a second.
Yeah.
And it's nice. I think because I was so young with this music, maybe that's part of it, that it's like, it's not connected to any real bad memory. Yeah. It's like mostly just like general malaise and like, like seasonal depression or something.
For sure.
Yeah. Like, and it generally is almost a happy time. Like, I think back to that time and I'm like, I was living in the city by myself, like being with friends, but like, that was a cool experience. And everything I was doing was like my first steps into adulthood and being like able to go out at night by myself and not tell anyone what I was doing and all that stuff, like, and have music on, like, which I don't know, like, it's so different than putting on a CD in your bedroom in your parents' house, like, having it in your headphones, being like, I'm cool, I'm in college now, and I'm like walking down the street, I'm like in my own person. I like think back to like what I looked like. I was like a child, but
it's crazy.
You had training wheels on your
body. I'm literally a baby. But like in my head, I was like, I'm a woman.
This guy that introduced you to it, you met him in college?
In high school. But he was a year older than me, and he went off to school, and then like we would talk on Instant Messenger and stuff, and he would recommend stuff. I didn't really make any friends at my school. I made like two friends. And they were really cool, but and I don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
And the other people were all like improv people. So I was like taking improv classes and they were all a little older. I made one friend who was also in college who was doing improv, and he was also really music savvy, and we would make each other CDs. Mm. And he turned me on to The Replacements, and that was like huge. But the thing with The Replacements is that my album is a mix he made me of his favorite songs. So like, it's not so even like an album.
And were they done by that point, or were they?
I think so.
Yeah.
But like,
this was a living, breathing
thing. Yeah. And that was what was kind of amazing. Like, I think like when you, I don't know, like for me at least growing up, I loved music, but it was like the radio, the stuff on the radio was either like you know, like, you're not really connecting that with, like, okay, so what? NSYNC is alive right now and making music. Like, right. I, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, like, care.
Yeah.
But, like, finding, like, wait, this guy is just doing this? And, like, no one else really, like, seems to know who this is, and he's so awesome.
That's it feels like such a key element to no one else knows who this guy is. Mm-hmm. It's like, you found this thing that will become big. It's
totally.
Nothing feels cooler than that.
Yeah. The other album that I really like is an album he did, which is all covers of Modest Mouse songs, and that's really fun. I mean,
does he slow them down?
Yeah.
Is it like a very,
There's one, Never Ending Math Equation is the one that I love, and it's like just truly so depressing, but it's because the lyrics are all about being a kid and like how you just, and how you're the same as you always were when you were a kid and like nothing really changes and it makes me sad.
We should mention that Sun Kill Moon is not the name of this guy. This is the name of the band. It's Mark Kozelek. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce his name? So
I don't know how to pronounce it. I've only read it.
His output is pretty consistent.
And he was in a band called Red House Painters that I really liked too, but I only knew a couple songs that I got off like LimeWire. And I was like, cool. But I like had no access, you know?
Yeah.
He just seems like this is what he's going to do. Like,
he feels like a Justin Vernon. Is that like
Ted Leo? Like,
oh,
this is
Ted
just,
Leo too. Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't matter how well this is going to go. I have to do this.
Yeah. Totally. Ted Leo is really cool.
He has like a Bon Iver vibe.
Me, this is totally like that. And I love Bon Iver too. Yeah. And that was another one where like that came out, and I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
I guess I'm sad again. I really love depressing music though. And like, it's hard to love depressing music and live with other people because they have to be on the same page. I could listen to it in any mood really, but like my husband doesn't really love depressing music as much as I do. Like if I put it on, it's like, oh, like we're going into this mood or whatever.
But
he can go there, but it's like, it has to be like,
you also have to make that commitment to go like, I'm going to make my husband sad right now.
That's a choice.
Yeah. Who wants that?
Yeah.
I'm very much like you in this regard because, and I didn't realize that, or one moment that like made it so clear is my friend Bobby Spencer. I don't know if he's even listening. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby, what's up?
We took a Groundlings class together. That's where we first met, and he was also a musician. He's a singer. And we decided to go see a show at the Groundlings. And I picked him up and I took him there. I was playing the Sigur Rós in my car.
Oh, yeah.
And
I actually considered that album. Yeah. That first one.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, because I fucking love that band. Mm-hmm. I love that album. And I hear you were driving to a Groundlings show. At one point, he went, wow, this is really pepping me up for this event. And that was the first I had even considered that was a weird thing to play on Saturday night as you're heading to the Groundlings to just bring everything down.
That album is weird for me because I was listening to it while reading this book, I Know This Much Is True by Wally Lamb, which is like about like twins where one is schizophrenic or something.
Yes, I read that so long ago. Okay, I remember it being like crushing.
Yes,
right?
And it's like fat. So I was like, and I would just like play the album over and over while I was listening to it. So I really think about those characters, even though I barely remember the story, but like it's so connected to that for some reason. It's weird. like just such a random book.
I was telling my friend 2 days ago about this podcast and he asked me, well, what's your particular album? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I never even thought about
it. To choose. It's like too hard of a question.
Well, that's kind of the fun thing is that you can like bounce around with different songs every time.
Yeah.
But now that we're talking about Sigur Rós, it might be that first album that might have the biggest emotional impact to me. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact that it's all gibberish.
That's what I love about it. I thought it was like Icelandic or something. Yeah. And then I found out that they made up the language. And I was like,
really?
Yeah. And
that's a big gap for me.
It's actually so cool because you can lay on whatever meaning. And I hear words in it that I'm making up.
Yeah.
So like, I can be like, oh, I think that's what they're saying. So then this is what this means. And like, it's completely meaningless to everyone.
Amazing.
Yeah. Which is so cool. No one's ever really done that, have they? Like, made an album with a fake language?
I've done it.
I mean, yeah, of course. I do it every night. But...
I love this one, Salvador Sanchez.
Yeah.
I
I was reading about it. I actually have never really read about the album.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of fascinating because it was all based on, like, these old wrestlers or something.
Yeah. Boxers.
What, boxers. Yeah. Boxers. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't, so it's like, I don't relate to that at all or care.
No.
But these songs, like, make me cry. So yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. He's sort of obsessed with boxers and boxers who've died.
Yeah. I made up a whole storyline for all of these songs where I thought they were about like explorers and like I truly was like I don't know, yeah. Like people like riding horses into like new areas.
Well, it's crazy
we are riding horses into new areas.
But like how evocative even the title is, where I'm like, okay, so I'm picturing it like in the Midwest and like cornfields.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because it's Ghost of the Great Highway and it's just like one person driving alone at night.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cornfields.
Yeah.
And
that,
I just
and
decided that.
No, and that makes sense to me. Like with Carry Me Ohio, like I picture that too. Like yeah. It's like I'm like depressed in the Midwest. Yep. And like, oh, that's like a cool shirt. That's
yeah. Should... It's never
nice. But I don't know. Like and I related to that too. Like where I'm like, I'm in Illinois. It's the same.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we want to think it's cooler than Ohio, but
I love that you felt, I mean, it's there's no reason why you wouldn't, but your parents weren't that far away from you.
No, they were 30 minutes away.
Did you see them a lot when you were in
yeah,
school?
And especially when I first went to school. Like I was going to DePaul, which is in Lincoln Park. It's literally a 30-minute drive from my parents in Evanston. And like it was enough of a push for me to feel like the distance and the adulthood.
Yeah.
But my first like weekend of school, I was living in the dorm for my first year and sharing a room with a complete stranger, which is honestly not right. Like when you think about like if you like, did you guys have a dorm?
Yeah. I had a complete stranger.
Yeah,
I did too, but I got very lucky and we ended up being like very
That's
good
always
friends.
What you think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like mine was like she was perfectly fine, but like we just didn't vibe.
Yeah.
And we're in like a room like the size of my childhood bedroom, like but I'm now sharing it with this person and like that's so hard. And like my first weekend was my birthday, my first weekend of school. And so I like went home and I was like
that
crying
makes sense.
And it was like,
well,
my mom's like,
sucks.
You've been there for 3 days.
Like, and you're like, college sucks.
I'm like, I don't like it there.
Yeah.
And my other like sweet mates were like trying to get me to go to church. And then when I was like, ooh. Oh, I don't do that. And then they were like, we'll never talk to you again. It was truly like,
wow.
Like there was just like this divide where I was like, well, I guess we're not friends. Even though they were really nice and like trying to invite me, but then like I just didn't want to go to church. And then the other girl was just kind of like, she was more, there's like a certain term for these types of people in Lincoln Park, Chicago, called Trixies. Like a Lincoln Park Trixie is like the girls who would put on like really short skirts and go to the bars and get trashed and like go to the Cubs games. And like, it's like this whole thing that I just like did not relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy based on what you're wearing
and
right
I mean,
now.
And I mean, you know, my style has evolved. Like, I totally respect her now. No, and she was, I mean, she was a totally good person. Like, there was nothing against her. But it was just like, she was in that kind of college mode. And I was in like the, like, I knew improv. And like, what's that? So it's a whole different thing.
And that was way before it was cool.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
no,
it was
but,
cool, but
no,
it was
but
not.
It was cool to us.
Yes.
But yeah, there was not a conversation in the culture about improv being like a cool thing.
And everything is, in that point in your life, is still so heightened. You're still in high school mode of, like, everything is heightened. So, like, if you're not friends with somebody, you're not friends with somebody.
Right.
Like, it is
and
weird
it's
when
weird.
You see them. Yeah.
And now, how do you get past that? Like, it's crazy because if I think about myself being in that situation now, I would just be friends with her. Like, we would just, like...
You just get over it.
I'd be like,
it,
oh, we'll find plenty of stuff to talk about. It'll be fine.
Dreams I kept, but I wouldn't dare.
And also, like, I think improv really helped me realize that I could talk to anyone. It's not that hard. But, like,
right.
at the time, I had such walls and such roadblocks, like, built up for, like, how do I make a friend? Like, I don't know. Yeah. And the only people I really bonded with were these two girls who were in a couple of my classes who were, like, best friends. And they were, like, really sarcastic and, like, hated everything. And I was like, great. So, like, finding those like-minded people who were my age was, like, kind of hard for me. But then, like, in the improv community, it was all people who were, like, in their 20s or older. And it was easy for me to be with them because they kind of, like, a lot of them, I started doing improv in high school and taking the classes at IO. And so, like, those people stayed my friends as I went to college. Like, they were sort of, like, my transitional people. They were still there. We were still seeing each other all the time and performing together. And it felt like I had this group already where it was like, well, I don't really need to go out of my way to, like, bond with people at school. I just want to get a degree and, like, do this. So
what were you studying?
English.
English?
Yeah. What about you? Did
you speak very well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my degree has paid off.
I was an acting major at SMU, which meant that, I think this is still true, but the whole arts section of the university was so isolated from the rest of the school. The rest of the university had this reputation for being this sort of elite, private, wealthy school, and we were this little pocket of misfits that we sort of had to be friends with, that we had no other choice. In our room, inside. It was a really good school, and it was in Highland Park, Dallas, which is a real posh community.
There's a Highland Park everywhere. There's one in Illinois. There's one in L.A.
Yeah.
That's like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, no. It's weird.
About the L.A. one.
Oh, yeah. It's right there.
My brother was going to the university at the same time. Well, he was 2 years ahead. And he was in the fraternity system. He was a Phi Delta. So we were in completely different worlds. Which I didn't complain about. It was just sort of notable that we had our own little crew of weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah, how about you? Did you?
I was a film major at UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, cool.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was really,
that
it was
explains
its own
your
world.
Love for movies.
What explains your
I've
love for movies?
I've always wondered how she could love them, but there it is.
My college experience was, I was so excited to get to college because I could choose my friends.
Yeah.
I was stuck with people in high school. Like, I went to a very small high school and you were just friends with everybody. I didn't have, there wasn't a lot of, like, negative, but I didn't get to, like, pick. And so I had my dorm friends and I had my film friends, and those are still, aside from UCB, my closest people.
There's a whole ceremony at UC Santa Barbara where you actually do get to pick your friends.
Yes. So, yes.
No.
You just point.
Yeah. Your finger goes above somebody.
But I think I had this, like, thing in my head where I was like, I have to go out and meet new people. I knew a couple people at DePaul, but I was like, it's not about you anymore. Like, I'm not to meet these people. Mm. And it was like, that was a mistake because I was like kind of judgmental of a few people I knew who would go to school with their best friend and then have them as their roommate. And I was like, come on, branch out.
Yeah.
But like, come on, that probably was really fun.
It probably was great. My mentality going to college was like, I don't want to, if I know you from before and you're going to UC Santa Barbara, I don't care.
Yes,
don't talk to
me.
I'm starting from scratch. Like I felt that too, starting from scratch, which did work. But my first few weeks though, I was like, I wish I had gone to Davis where my sister was. I want to come home. I had a car later, but I was so relieved because I was only 2 hours away from home.
Yeah.
So like if I'd had a car, I would have gone, especially like in the very beginning, I would have gone home a lot because I was sad and it's hard. And then
it is hard. And I also feel like I didn't let myself go home enough. Weirdly, like I was like, you have to push through it.
Mm.
But like, it also would have been fine to just like hang out with my parents on the weekend.
Yeah.
Like that's not weird.
Yeah, I do that now.
And I love it too. And I'm like sad now that my family's far away. So like, I look back and I was like, I felt like I had to put myself like just jump off into the deep end.
Yeah.
Soon.
parents made a rule for us that we couldn't stay in LA. I was like very grateful because they both grew up in LA and had and went to UCLA and had to live at home because that was that's what you did at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was like really important for them, for me and my brother and sister, to have a real college experience.
Well, and I think it's good. Like, I mean, I do, like, on the other hand, I'm like, I'm glad that I pushed myself to not go home because it's right there.
Totally.
But like, yeah, I think it's...
And you lived away from home, which is cool because you could have lived at home the whole time.
That's true.
And not had that different experience.
Yeah. I felt like because of the improv world, I was like, I got to be there so I can like... go to my shows and be at everything, because it was so much harder like going. I never went to any improv shows actually, like, in all my like time taking classes while I was in high school. I think I saw like 2 shows. I never went to anything, which is weird because they like push it on you so hard.
Yeah,
but I was like, it's gonna be a lot for me to go out on a school night to like drive into the city and
yeah. Was this IO?
Yeah.
Did they know you were in high school when you were in high school?
And I went to prom like during like my level 5 or something, and I brought my photos and they got developed.
That's so cute.
Like showed them my dress.
That's really cool.
And stuff.
That's really
it was
cool.
Everyone was super nice. That's which awesome. Is nice because I think like, wow, it's so generous to be like really kind to like an 18-year-old who's in your class.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to talk to me. And
as
I would
an
like
adult,
read books during the breaks because I was no one wants to talk to me.
Aww.
So lame.
No, your book was like, upside down.
Yeah, I'm like, nobody noticed me. This one's a little different tone.
This is what I like to do. Kick it!
It worked.
It worked. They kicked it.
I don't mind this song because this album is very he's like very Neil Young. His voice is very Neil Youngy to me.
Youngian is the term. That's what it's always meant.
If you're a
this is like
philosophy
I think if
major.
I had found this album when it came out, it would have really like struck a chord.
Yeah.
But I had moved away from like Iron and Wine and like
I was totally into Iron and Wine at the time too.
Yeah, and like kind of just don't listen to that stuff as much
anymore. Yeah, so how does it like feel like coming to this as like a totally fresh?
The more I listen to it, the more I like it. But the like my first listen, it was hard for me to differentiate songs from one another. And it helped when I went and looked at some of the lyrics to like know like, oh, this first one is about a serial killer, apparently.
Yeah, I just sing along without thinking about it, honestly.
Kanye. We've had
Radiohead
and what was
Carole King.
Oh, wow.
So there's dynamics in all these other albums, particularly Kanye, which is just an assault on your ears.
And that one is like that I knew when it came out. So is it different?
Yeah.
But this one, like, I do like it has grown on me, but it's not one that I would if we were just hanging out and you were like, check this out, I'd be like, okay.
I would never.
Yeah.
Like, I would never put it on to try to appeal to somebody because I know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, and that's almost why I was like, I know it's a little bit of a choice for this podcast because I was like, this is an alone listen for the most part.
Yeah. You know, I think that's why
it's very solo.
It appeals to me because of that. Like I said, I'm drawn more to these. Types of albums where I can, their vision is just one particular mood, and I actually like the lyrics do help, and the fact that he's writing about boxers I think is really really amazing.
Yeah. It's
and
cool.
It's a lot heavier because like these boxers have died, and that's probably why he's not writing about Pacquiao or whatever. So I think they have more punch. I think. I'm digging this for sure.
This also is like it falls into a category for me, which is kind of specific, but music I'll put on an airplane that I know I'm gonna fall asleep to.
Mm-hmm. That's
it's like
a theme this week.
Oh, really?
Even though we don't even know what order these are gonna come out, but we've been talking about.
Oh,
that
that's
this
interesting.
Week. Yeah.
Another one for me, if anyone wants music to fall asleep to on an airplane, Volcano Choir. Have you heard of this band?
No.
It's kind of falls into the like. Bon Iver, like category, but really moving. And if I don't know, like it's easier to cry on airplanes, I think is kind of like a fact, but like, it'll make you cry.
Yeah. Brian Ferry. Just fucking cry.
Seriously.
It is important. I feel like, I don't think I realize that most people have their like airplane albums.
Yeah.
Because it is, I have two in there.
What are yours?
I guess I don't travel as much as I used to, but the Garden State soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
And Patty Griffin, Living with Ghosts.
I need to listen to that. Okay, I'm going to add that to my list.
But also, that I found in high school. I don't know what it would be you coming into it now. And she's very specific and like, but she's a beautiful voice.
I'll check it out.
Do you guys like ambient music? Mm-hmm. He said before scurrying away. there are no lyrics to this, but there's one album that Brian Eno and Harold Budd made.
Well, I thought of Brian Eno first.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Big Ship is the song that came to mind when he said that. And I was like, I do like that. I don't love all ambient music, but specific ones.
I think this is Pearl is the name of the album. And I didn't hear about it until the lead singer of Pet Shop Boys was interviewed, and he was like, this is a perfect album.
Oh, wow.
And
Whenever people say that, it's like, you gotta.
Yeah.
But also the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, knowing how important this album was to you when I listened to it also made me go like, okay, I'm going to really listen to this and give it a chance instead of going like, meh, not for me.
So, I think that's probably one thing that's really cool about doing this podcast is that, like, music you might just, like, skip past, you can go, oh, well, this person, like, connects to this.
Yeah,
which
really
is probably
cool.
True of every song ever, but...
Yeah. But, but it's nice when some it's people are wrong. We like.
That's it. It's eight different tracks of that.
You get it.
You get it. All
it's right. Just like right. Colors changing.
Yes, exactly. Is there another song that you actually... I'll show it to you. That you actually do, like, oh, let's play this first.
Well, yeah, I mean... But Glenn Tipton is just a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I
do like this
love
one.
This song.
It's a nice way to start now.
Oh, yeah. Some like KK down more than Glenn Tipton. Some like your neighbor, some Bob, even I like them all. I put my feet up on the coffee table. I stay up late watching. I like old movies with Clark Gable, just like my dad does. Just like my dad did when he was home. Staying up late, staying up late. Just like my dad did when he was thinking. Glenn Tipton is the guitarist for Judas Priest, if you guys have Wikipedia.
Scary. I did not get that far with my wiki.
I think I like this one the most because it's when I go to play it, I start it from the beginning. So this is the one I've heard the most.
Yes.
It's just how it works. I work with music is the more I hear it, the more it becomes a tortilla to me.
Yeah.
A blanket to wrap myself in.
You should check out the other album that's all the Modest Mouse covers. I think it's Tiny Cities or something. But the other album, Benji, that I was mentioning is honestly like very tragic. He tells a story of a cousin of his who dies in a fire, and it's real, but it's, I almost think it was like started by like a trash fire or something.
Really?
But it's like this very dark storytelling sort of album, and it's really cool, but it's not like you can rock out. It's literally like
kick it.
Yeah, you can listen to it every once in a while. But it's kind of dark.
Should we go right into what did we learn today?
Yes.
I didn't know. I knew you started improv long before I did, and before most people. I didn't realize that you started in high school, which is so cool.
Thanks.
I wish I had found it earlier in my life.
It was really lucky. I had a teacher who told me I should go do it because I couldn't get into any plays. So it was truly a failure that led to a success.
That's amazing. Amazing.
It was
truly
lucky. Yeah.
I love that.
I learned that too. Of learning about your airplane songs, everybody's airplane
songs.
Well,
that's actually what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, I think of that as being such a personal experience, like what I listen to on the airplane, but then realizing like everyone else's headphones has important shit going on. It's kind of just one of those.
I learned that it's okay to like depressing music. Like, there's others of me out there.
Yeah, that's cool. I love it.
And Sugar Rose is a great piece of music to play before going to a comedy show. Yeah.
That's a. I mean, I gotta listen to that again. That's also great. Sugar Rose's first album is great to fall asleep to. Oh, yeah. I don't usually like to have music on at night, but that one you can because it's gibberish too. Like your brain can't really think of what they're saying, and it's kind of good for
that. That's nice. Yeah, I like that.
Lauren Lapkus is an actress, comedian, and podcaster hailing from Evanston, Illinois. She is best known for her podcasts Threedom, Raised by TV, and with special guest Lauren Lapkus. Where can everybody find these?
They're on Apple Podcast, or you know, anywhere you get your podcast, but also Stitcher Premium is where they're kind of all moving.
Oh, great.
And I have an announcement, which is that with special guest is coming back on May 10th, so whenever this comes out, it may already be back.
Yeah.
But I've been on a hiatus with it for like a year and a half, so it's coming back May 10th to Stitcher Premium.
Great.
You can go to stitcherpremium.com/withspecialguest and use code Lapkus, I think, or it's maybe slash Lapkus. One of those will work, but either code Lapkus will get you there. Free month.
Nice.
Gets you all sorts of stuff. There's
very
tons of great shows. Threedom's on there. It's me and Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins just telling stories and playing games, and it's really silly.
I love
it. Raised by TV is a nostalgia podcast, so if you care about TV and movies and stuff, get on there.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Love that. You can also be seen, I'm telling you this, you can also be seen in the,
can I be
in
seen?
The movie The Unicorn and HBO's
Yeah,
Rent
the Unicorn. It's like an indie movie I did that, is The Unicorn. It's about a couple trying to have a threesome.
Oh.
So it's, and a unicorn is
that
a person
term,
who will fuck couples. Yeah. So yeah, we're trying to find our unicorn, and it's me and Nick Rutherford, and it's a funny movie.
And let's not forget the feature, Between Two Ferns, on Netflix. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram, at Lauren Lapkus, LaurenLapkus.
Yes, right? Find me.
Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to This Particular Album is Very, Very Important to Me. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at This Particular Album. Follow us on Twitter at Particular Album. The show is produced by me, Deborah Tarica, Ryan Middledorf, and everyone at Campfire Media. Artwork by James Mulholland. Music by me, Joel Spence. See you next time.
Campfire.